Shabbat Shalom. Bruchim Habayim to the Stephen Wise Free Synagogue. It is an honor to welcome the fellows and instructors of the Israel National Defense College back to our congregation. For those of you who might not know, sitting among you are 58 of the elite members of Israel's national security apparatus, representing the military, the police force, the intelligence services, and members of the diplomatic corps. They are Israel's best. Foreign militaries send some of their top officers to the INDC to spend a year with their Israeli counterparts, and they too are here. Our guests are the ones who within a few years will be the senior commanders of Israel's defense establishment and leaders in its foreign service. They were handpicked to participate in an intense year-long study program. Away from their field commands, they have the time and the space to think and to learn about anything and everything that may impact on their future leadership, including understanding America and our Jewish community better, which is what brings them here this evening. Leading the INDC and joining us here is Major General Itai Veruv. Itai, we are pleased to welcome you back to our community. And I understand we wish you a mazel tov on your upcoming retirement. Tonight at dinner, many of you will have the opportunity to get to know these officers personally. Enjoy spending time with these future generals, political, and diplomatic leaders. Tell me over dessert, which one is destined to be a future prime minister? I bring you greetings from Rabbi Ami Hirsch. Your visit with our congregation is one of his favorite events of the year. He sincerely wanted to be here and have the opportunity to address you himself. However, due to our COVID policy, it was my unfortunate responsibility to bar his entry and keep him out tonight. That wasn't easy. We wish Rabbi Hirsch a refuah shleima, a very speedy recovery. I also have the honor of welcoming Israel's Acting Consul General, Yisrael Nitzan. Yisrael, you are wrapping up a very successful tenure representing Israel to New York. You have not only become a beloved figure in all settings where you are the face of Israel, you have also become mishpacha, part of the Stephen Wise Free Synagogue family. We wish you success as you transition out of this role and extend an open invitation for you to return to us whenever you are back in town. I love looking out from this pulpit and seeing men and women in uniform. It's not a common sight in an American congregation. I'm partial to the uniform because I, too, served as an officer. I was the chaplain in the U.S. Air Force Reserve. One of the most moving experiences for me when I was in uniform was hearing from civilians, "Thank you for your service." So much is expressed in that short phrase. It's a statement that honors the values and mission of our country and our military. It's also a recognition that with a small minority of Americans volunteering to serve, this phrase honors the commitment we have made and the sacrifice that comes along with donning the uniform. Tonight, I say to you, thank you for your service. You have chosen to pursue careers of commitment to secure the future of the State of Israel, along with the future of the Jewish people in Israel and in the diaspora. At Stephen Wise, we honor you and your sacrifice and express our gratitude and pride that you wear Israel's national uniform. Part of your visit with us here tonight is to learn about the American Jewish community and how we express our Judaism. In Israel, most citizens are Jewish, and Judaism permeates all aspects of life, even in secular settings. I attended a soccer game in Jerusalem. Soccer, while a religious experience for some, is entirely secular, especially with a rather off-color chance that my son asked me to translate for him. The game ended in a tie, or in Hebrew, teku. Teku is an acronym for Tishbi Yetaretz Kushiyot Utshuvot, meaning the ancient prophet Elijah will return to earth to solve unanswered questions and resolve ties, including which team won this game. Jewish tradition is part of all aspects of life in Israel. But that isn't the case in the United States. To feel Jewish in the US, you must actively engage in Jewish life and community. The largest denomination in the US, and therefore the way that most Jews who practice their Judaism identify, is with the Reform Movement. At Stephen Wise Free Synagogue, our service this evening was conducted entirely in Hebrew. The words are the same as you will find in any siddur, any prayer book, anywhere in the world. Yet, unlike most congregations in Israel, we have a live band. It's accompanying our services. Not only does this create a spiritual, beautiful, and festive celebration of Shabbat, it also harkens back to the time of the temple in Jerusalem, when ritual practice was always accompanied by musical instrumentation. As much as the Reform Movement has innovated by incorporating instruments into our services, it has also renewed an ancient Jewish practice. In this week's Parasha Ba'alotcha, we learn even more about the ancient temples in Jerusalem and what beautified them. The Torah portion opens with instructions for building the menorah, which could be placed in the tabernacle, the Mishkan, and ultimately was featured in the first and second temples in Jerusalem. Vayedaber Adonai el Moshe le'mor, daber el Aharon v'amarta elav, ba'alotcha et hanerot el mul pnei ha-menorah, ya'iru shivat hanerot. And God spoke to Moses, saying, speak to Aaron and say to him, when you light the lamps, the seven lamps shall give light towards the body of the candlestick. We learn from this text that the menorah is designed with six branches extending from a central pillar that holds the seventh candle. The menorah is an important ritual object and a national symbol of Israel. Our own bima is adorned with two artistic renderings of the menorah. In 1949, Israel adopted the menorah as the central symbol of its national emblem. The symbolism and message of the menorah is significant. The menorah was designed by God and fashioned in gold for the tabernacle. It had a place of prominence in the first temple. When the temple was destroyed in 586 BCE, so was the menorah. But with the building of the second temple in Jerusalem, the menorah was refashioned and returned to the sanctuary. The Hanukkah story and the miracle of the oil is based around the menorah. And once again, the menorah was lost when the second temple was ransacked and destroyed. The menorah was stolen by the Romans. This is famously depicted on the Arch of Titus in Rome, a victory arch that celebrates Roman power, the destruction of Jerusalem, and the exile of the Jewish people. In 1949, Israel's leadership reclaimed the image of the menorah as the emblem of the state to proclaim Jewish exile has ended. The Third Commonwealth has begun. Jews will once again, for the first time in close to 2,000 years, live independently under their own rule in Israel. The menorah delivers that message. However, there's one problem with that proclamation. The image of the menorah that is depicted on the emblem of the State of Israel, along with the oversized statue of the menorah that stands outside of the Knesset building, Israel's parliament in Jerusalem, is not an accurate depiction of the menorah that graced our ancient temples. The image of the menorah that we use today as a symbol of the State of Israel is the one that appears on the Arch of Titus. It is a Roman stylized version of the biblical menorah. it isn't authentically ours. What did the biblical menorah look like? It's hard to say definitively. There are no photographs of the ancient menorah. The Rambam, Maimonides, the famous scholar in Egypt at the end of the 12th century, depicts the menorah with straight branches coming out diagonally from a central pillar. He rejects the rounded branches that we're familiar with. Additionally, his depiction includes almond blossoms, kaftor vaferach, as the menorah is described in the Torah in the book of Shemot in Exodus. You might be familiar with this angular design. It shows up throughout New York City from the Chabad Lubavitch at the time of Hanukkah. The Lubavitcher rabbi, Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, wrote about this design in the 1980s. He took issue with adopting the image of the menorah from the Arch of Titus, saying that this depiction was created certainly in order to demonstrate and give expression to the power and dominion that the Romans had over the Jews. The depiction of the menorah in the shape of a semicircle must cause us to cry out in despair, for this picture was created in order to bring suffering on Jews and humiliate them. But the image of the menorah must remind and inspire the Jew that his purpose is to be a light unto nations. This version of the menorah achieves the opposite. It reminds us that Rome defeated the Jews. I'm not certain that Maimonides and Rabbi Schneerson are correct, that the branches of the original menorah jutted out diagonally from the central pillar. There are early images of the menorah that show rounded branches. However, they are right that the base of the menorah, shown on the emblem of Israel, is entirely Roman. Depictions of the menorah from 6th century mosaic floors of ancient synagogues show the menorah with a tripod base. Even Flavius Josephus, the Jewish commander of the rebellion against the Romans turned Jewish historian of the exile, describes the menorah as standing on a simple base. The two-level hexagonal base is a Roman addition to the menorah. Now, it would be a more massive work of art and stand stably so that it could easily be carried by the Romans on a furculum, a bier that is hoisted on the shoulder for parades. This is how the Romans would display the booty that they had won. And it is this version of the menorah with a large and steady base that is depicted on the Arch of Titus and on the emblem of the State of Israel. Artistically, the Roman addition might very well represent an improvement to the menorah. It's more appealing to the eye, it stands stronger and higher, it's more imposing. But why did the founders of the newly independent State of Israel use this image, one that represents the degradation of the Jewish people, as a depiction of Israel's independence and sovereignty? Surely, a rejection of the Arch of Titus would have been more fitting. Or would it? Judaism places tremendous value in remembering our history. We are not a culture that rewrites our past to skip over our pain, our suffering, and even our transgressions. We use the word zachor throughout the year. Remember. We remember how Amalek attacked us in the desert after the Exodus. We remember the victims of the Holocaust. We remember at Yizkor the loss of our loved ones. While we recall our suffering, we also place our faith in the words of the psalmist, Mikimi me'afar dal me'ashpot yarim evyon. God raises up the poor out of the dust and lifts the needy out of the ash heap. Hazorim bedima berina yiktzoru. Those who sow in tears will reap in joy. The founders of the modern state of Israel would not rewrite the ancient message of the Arch of Titus. Yes, Jerusalem was destroyed. Her people were exiled, and they were paraded before the ancient world as captives. Yet long after ancient Rome fell, the Jewish people live on. This was poignantly depicted when in 1948, survivors of the Holocaust carrying signs of support for the new state of Israel and waiting to make Aliyah to establish their lives anew in Israel, walked in symbolic protest backward underneath the Arch of Titus. Their protest declared an end to the Jewish people's degradation and exile. By reclaiming the menorah, taking the image from the Arch of Titus and placing it outside the Knesset, the seat of government in Jerusalem, Israel embraces her past and the myriad ways that the diaspora and periods of exile have shaped the Jewish people today. By reclaiming this menorah, the image of the defeat and captivity of the Jewish people, Israel proclaims that she is empowered and required to secure her borders, defend against attack, and keep the Jewish people safe. The Third Commonwealth will not end in destruction and exile. It will flourish for centuries to come. And the menorah tells us the importance of Rabbi Schneerson's exhortation. The menorah was not simply a work of art, some Judaica that graced the temple. It has purpose and power. It is placed at the center of Jewish life and at the seat of government because the menorah counters darkness with light. It serves as a constant reminder to those in power today. We are commanded to be an Or LaGoyim, a light to all other nations. The menorah tells those in power they are obligated to lead morally, justly, with dignity, and with honor. May you and all of Israel's leaders be guided by the awesome responsibility contained in the message of the menorah.